We turn now to the reading of God's Word, to be found once again in Mark chapter 14. We'll be continuing more or less where we left off from, studying from verse 66 through 72. However, we will be reading from verse 53 through 72 once again. And I'd like to start us off first by looking very briefly at Mark 14, verse 29 through 31, just to get a bit of the context of the passage. So we'll read from Mark 14, verse 29 through 31, and then from verse 53 through 72. And we'll focus in on verse 66 through 72. Hear the word of the Lord. Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. And then turning to verse 53. And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together, and Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You've heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. And in the passage for tonight, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to understand this passage tonight, that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our soul to receive the word. We pray, Lord, that we would see that the sin of Peter is so often our own sin, and that we, Lord, would confess you truly with an open heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we considered the trial of Jesus Christ. We watched as Jesus' most powerful enemies gathered together as one man to condemn him. We saw how they piled on false witness after false witness after false witness, and how they condemned Christ for confessing the truth of his divinity. We saw how they beat Christ and how they mocked him. And we saw how through it all, Christ was bound so that we might be loosed. We saw how he was accused and judged guilty so that we might never be condemned. But this evening, we come to another trial that happened on the same night. In fact, likely a trial that happened at the exact same time as Jesus' trial. Peter, like Jesus, was tried. Like Jesus, he was charged and accused. And like Jesus, he did respond to the accusations. But although Peter was tried on the same night as his master, Peter's trial went very, very differently from that of his Lord. While Jesus was accused by rulers, Peter was accused by servants. While Jesus faced false witnesses, Peter was accused by people who accused him of the truth. While Jesus confessed the truth, Peter denied it. And ultimately, while Jesus was condemned for blasphemy, although he never once blasphemed, Peter was accused because of, or Peter, excuse me, was acquitted because of his blasphemy. Peter had sworn his fealty to Christ. He had claimed that he would remain with Christ until the very end. But in the text before us tonight, Peter was in a haste to deny his own Lord. Congregation, Peter is unfortunately not alone in this sin. When most people read this passage, they say, "Thank God I'm not like Peter." In fact, we often consider denying Christ as the final worst form of backsliding. And in many ways, it is a very, very serious sin indeed. But Christians deny Christ more often and in more ways than simply saying the words, "I do not know this man." In the passage before us tonight, Peter denied Jesus with his words, but also with his actions and his attitudes and his fear. In the same way, friends, when we deny Christ, it has often to do with the people we associate. It often has to do with the way we live our day-to-day lives. It often has to do with our actions when we're alone and when others are around. So this evening, I'd like to compare with you Jesus' trial to Peter's trial. And as we compare these two trials tonight, I'd like to add one more trial, in a sense, to this list. I want you, congregation, dear friends, to compare Peter's trial with your own life. And I want you to ask the question, do you deny Christ in the same ways that Peter did? Let us then watch as this trial of Peter unfolds in his three failures. Peter avoids Christ. Peter denies Christ. And Peter blasphemes Christ. We can begin with Peter avoiding Christ. Peter avoids Christ. Merely a few hours before the events of our text tonight, Peter declared that he would follow Christ wherever he went. As we just read from Mark 14, verse 29 through 31, Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And again he said, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Throughout the Gospels, Peter is full of statements like this. He often declared that he was more faithful, more humble, more zealous, more forgiving, more of a disciple than the other disciples. And there is a sense in which Peter does seem, in some ways, to be more committed to Christ than the other disciples. He was the first person to declare that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, at least of his disciples. When Peter was with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, he was proud to put Jesus on a level with Moses and Elijah. In his zeal, he rebuked Jesus when Jesus first told them about his death. And even here in our passage tonight, all the other disciples had fled at the moment that Jesus was arrested. One of them, perhaps Mark himself, the text tells us, was in such a panic to run away that when the soldiers grabbed him by the cloak, he left it behind and ran away naked. But Peter alone continued to follow Christ. In that, in some sense, he's to be commended. But there's a problem with this picture here tonight, friends. Peter didn't follow Christ to die with him, as he had declared so boldly just moments before. No, he was too afraid of the crowd to do that. Instead, he followed the crowd to see what would happen to his master. He couldn't even bring himself to be in the same room as Jesus while he was being judged. He sat in a lower courtyard of the palace, outside of the area where Christ's judgment was to take place. And here, in the courtyard of this high priest, not even in the main room, sitting by a fire to get warm, Peter's trial took place. Christ in his trial was accused by the high priest and by the religious leaders of his day, but Peter's accusers were much more lowly. While Christ's trial was going on above him inside the house, Peter was accused by a slave girl and by a few soldiers. Look with me at verse 66 and 67. It says, "As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.'" Compare Jesus' trial with Peter's trial for a moment, friends. What a difference between the two. At this moment, Jesus was in the middle of being accused by the high priest. Meanwhile, Peter was accused by a slave. This word here that the ESV translates servant girl is often translated, I think rightly so, as slave. And so we have Christ, the perfect high priest, accused by the high priest. And we have Christ's servant accused by a servant of the earthly high priest. But more importantly, during this time, the leaders of Jerusalem were in the middle of falsely accusing Christ. But this slave girl, this servant girl, brings forward a very different accusation. While Christ was accused falsely, Peter was accused rightly. When the servant girl said, "You were with the Nazarene, Jesus," she was entirely correct. He was with Jesus from very nearly the beginning. In the book of Mark, Peter was the first disciple, again, that Jesus mentioned. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples. If anyone was with the Nazarene, Peter was one of them. If anyone was with Christ, it was Peter. But what does Peter do? Instead of confessing Christ as he should have, he lied about the accusation. Look at verse 68. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. Peter here clearly understood what Jesus or what the slave girl was saying. He clearly knew who she was referring to. But rather than confess, he feigned ignorance. He lied about knowing Christ and pretended to not understand. Rather than proclaim Christ, he declared, I have no idea what you're talking about. And having denied his Savior, he fled from the slave girl. As verse 68 says, he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. Again, consider, friends, the difference between Christ and Peter here. Christ calmly sat and listened to false witness after false witness after false witness maligning him. But Peter, on the other hand, can't even withstand the accusations of a little girl. Not only does he deny Christ, he can't muster the courage to stand still. Jesus' strongest disciple runs out into the courtyard, away from this little girl, and in the process, he distances himself even further from Christ. The other disciples ran away when Jesus was arrested, but Peter, on the other hand, runs away the moment that he's questioned. Now, I want to pause for a moment here and turn from Peter to you, friends. Young Christians, teenagers, boys and girls, when Peter denied Christ for the first time in this passage, he did it in more ways than just with his words. The first time he denied knowing Jesus, he did it primarily by distancing himself and by avoiding association with Christ. But what about you? Do you avoid association with Christ? In the presence of non-Christians, do you change the subjects you talk about? Do you change the way you talk? Do you avoid spending time associating with other Christians for fear you might get a reputation you don't want? This is a danger, certainly for all Christians, young and old, but young men and women, this is especially true for you often. You may want to fit in, to be popular. But in order to do that, you will find yourself tempted to avoid association with Christ. Friends, although we often like to claim that we're different than Peter, the fact of the matter is so often we deny Christ by avoiding association with him. Let me warn you, friends. If you distance yourself from Christ, Christ will be distant from you. Do you think that you can avoid acknowledging Christ in public, but that in private you'll still be close to him? Certainly not. The Bible tells us that if we suffer, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Again, God's word says, draw near unto God, and he will draw near to you. But if you flee from Christ, do you think you'll be close to his presence? Certainly not. But friends, Peter's trial is far from over. So let's return to the text. We find just a verse later that Peter denies Christ again. And here it appears that Peter denies Christ a bit more outwardly. Though Peter wished to escape from the slave girl, she follows him. In fact, she repeats her accusation, this time more pointedly, in verse 69. The servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." This little girl has no doubt that Peter is a Christian. She can recognize him. But this time when she accuses Peter, she accuses him in the presence of others. Imagine the fear in Peter's heart, friends. He came at this moment merely to find out what would happen to his Lord. He came in order to discover whether Christ would be condemned or not. Despite all his boasting, he was too afraid to follow Christ to the death. And yet even here, in this outward courtyard, having left to escape this slave girl, even here he's being found out. Terror sweeps into his heart. What will happen to him? Surely if they catch him, they will put him on trial with Christ. Some of them might recognize him from when he was captured. But friends, what did Peter have to lose? In reality, he was a servant to Christ. He had proclaimed as much for years. He had left behind all for Christ's sake. When most people left Christ, he and the rest of the disciples said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of life. And yet here in his terror, he answers by denying the little girl's accusations once more. And even though the people around him can't really hurt him, his denial of Christ is even stronger the second time. At the same time that Jesus was accused of false accusation after false accusation, Peter can't even withstand this girl's accusations. And so again, I turn to you, friends. When Peter denied Christ for the second time, he denied Christ in front of several people. He was surrounded by non-Christians. He was worried about what they would think of him and what might happen if he confesses Christ. How awful it is to deny Christ in front of one person. But how much worse is it to deny Christ in front of many? Congregation, what we do and say in the presence of non-Christians frequently amounts to a denial of Christ. We often proclaim ourselves, at least in our hearts, to be different from Peter here. But the fact of the matter is that when Peter denied Christ, he was in the presence of many others. And all too often, when we are in the presence of many people, we fear yet more strongly to proclaim Christ's name. When someone denies Christ while in the company of others, they often do so in their words and in their actions, by speaking in a vulgar way, or by breaking God's law in order to fit in and not be discovered. So, friends, when you are at work, do you swear because others swear? Do you blaspheme because others blaspheme? Have you ever lied even in order to cover your coworkers' tracks? All of these things amount to a denial of our Savior. All of these things are indicators that you are denying Christ in your actions, if not in as many words. But Peter's trial still continues. So let's return to the text. We find that in the end, Peter blasphemes Christ. Peter blasphemes Christ. The text has already shown that Peter, in his trial, avoided association with Christ. It has shown that Peter denied Christ outright when in the presence of others. But the text continues to show Peter's final denial. A little while after Peter's second denial, the same company of people take up the accusation of the little girl and with more force. Verse 70 says, "After a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.'" Peter, at this point, has already denied Christ twice, as we've seen. Yet there were certain things about him which marked him out as a follower of Jesus. The way he talked was certainly very Galilean. The way he looked, perhaps. The place he was from marked him out as a follower of Christ. He was very clearly one of Jesus' disciples. And yet he refused to acknowledge it. So this group presses him on it, insisting, "Certainly you are one of them." Just as a lawyer might cross-examine a witness, bringing out evidence for a crime. In the same way, the crowd presents evidence that Peter is lying to them. They say, "Certainly you're one of them, for you too are Galilean." But Peter, who's had two opportunities to confess Christ, to proclaim his name, he here doesn't confess Christ either. He denied Christ when it was only a slave girl talking to him. He had denied Christ when a large group of people accused him. So do you think that he would confess Christ when now this large group presses him on it? No. Peter denies Christ once more, and this time even stronger than before. Peter should have been thinking of his Savior, but instead he feared and thought only of himself, and so once again he denied Christ. In verse 71, he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." Brothers and sisters, I hope, I pray that none of you will ever say these words. How horrible they are. Christ was at this very moment preparing for his death. Around this time, Christ in his trial declared his divinity and spoke of the final judgment that was to condemn those who accused him. But instead, Peter calls judgment on himself. As he says in verse 71, he began to invoke a curse on himself. Around this time, the religious leaders of Jerusalem condemned Jesus for what they falsely claimed to be blasphemy. But Peter here blasphemes to acquit himself. Around this time, Christ was beaten, spit upon, mocked, and slapped. But I think that maybe the worst humiliation Christ received in that moment were the words that came out of Peter's mouth, "I know not this man." The one who had so recently boasted that he would follow Christ, even if all others left him behind, denied him three times, once by feigning ignorance, once by direct denial, and once even heaping judgment up upon himself. Congregation, just as Peter was identified by certain characteristics, there are things which still will set apart Christians from the rest of the world. Peter was from Galilee, and that set him apart. The Christian, on the other hand, has a citizenship which is not of this earth. There are certain things which will set Christians apart. Namely, the Christian's words, deeds, thoughts and attitudes. These things should set us apart from the world. It is right for a Christian to be different than the world. Yet there are many within the Christian church who try to hide these characteristics of salvation. And a few, when pressed on this matter, even deny Christ outright. And believe me, friends, as much as we might like to say that we would, if pressed on the matter, declare Christ, there are many saints of many ages, people who have truly loved Christ, who nonetheless have, at one time or another, denied him. Men and women who loved the Savior. Men and women whose names you might recognize, who nonetheless, at one time or another, said these words that Peter said, "I know not this man." And so I turn to you listening to me here tonight. Have you denied Christ as strongly as Peter did in this final moment? Don't think that you're better than Peter, friends. Even if you have said, or even if you have not said, "I do not know this man," in as many words, every time you avoid speaking of Christ, every time you sin to be accepted by the world, you are telling the world, though perhaps not in as many words, "I know not this man." In concluding this text, we see that Peter wept bitterly when he went out from them. The Bible shows us that Christ forgave Peter. He forgave one that even would deny him three times. But the Bible also shows that Peter was repentant. When Peter heard that final rooster crow, it must have sounded like a judge's gavel in his ears. And so I turn to you, my friend. Do you fear others? Do you fear what they will think of you or what they will do to you? Have you said, "I do not know this man," in some way in your life? Well, then I have three commands for you taken from this text. If you truly are a follower of Christ and you know him, first, do as Peter did. Weep. Christ suffered for you. Christ endured humiliation over the course of his entire life. Christ, the creator and sustainer of all things, the king of the universe, became the suffering servant. Christ was unjustly condemned for his elect. Christ faced the trial and later the cross itself for the believer's sake. And you, would you deny him? Would you say, "I know not this man of whom you speak"? If you are like Peter in some way tonight, friend, if you have denied this person whom you have promised to follow, be like Peter in this too. Weep. Any true believer who has denied Christ will sorrow in his denial. But don't only weep. Esau sought repentance with tears, but he found it not. If you are like Peter, if you truly do trust in Christ for your salvation, don't just weep and then go on with your life. Rather, in the second place, friends, repent. Turn back from denying Christ. Resolve with God's help to confess Christ before all, not only in your words, but in the way you live, in the actions you take, in the way you speak, and even in the way you think. Friends, Peter denied Christ in our passage before us tonight, but the rest of Scripture records that this was not the only opportunity he had to preach of Christ. In fact, he suffered many times for the sake of his Savior. And although we don't know for certain what happened to Peter, tradition holds that Peter, too, was eventually crucified, refusing to deny his Savior. At some point, the words that he declared in verse 30 and 31 did indeed come true. Later on in his life, he did almost certainly die confessing Christ. And so finally, friends, in this repentance, take up Christ's confession as your banner and not Peter's denial. We are weak. We are frail. But Jesus is not. Christ proclaimed the truth in front of the leaders of Jerusalem. So cling to him. Cling to this judge who was judged. Trust in him and not in yourself. And the next time in which you have an opportunity to confess Christ, friends, may we too confess Christ, no matter the cost. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we would confess and proclaim your name before the world. We pray that we would not be tempted to live in the fear of man, that we would not be tempted to deny Christ as Peter did. But we pray, Lord, that our lives as a whole would be lives in which we connect ourselves, we cling ourselves strongly to you. We pray, Lord, that we would find in you, our Savior, the true and perfect judge, that we would not have fear of man, but that we would fear and love and serve and proclaim your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us then stand to sing, responding in number 438, hymn number 438, I love to tell the story, all the verses.